to Psalm chapter 150, the very last of the divisions of the psalm. In other words, this brings this book and this great collection of wisdom and praise and singing unto the Lord to a conclusion. We'd like to read these six verses tonight. Bring a thought out of verse number 6. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. All right, I want everybody tonight with me right now to take a big, deep breath in. Just like that. And exhale. Now, I'm not giving you tips to relax and beat stress and meditate. I mean, that's kind of what that sounds like. But the very last verse here talks about everything that has breath. And everybody that participated in that exercise tonight proves that we have what verse 6 is talking about. And I've also just given you the very simplest way to be reminded of the blessings and power of God. I don't know if you've ever considered that before. But even when we are beyond words, even when we are, in situations where we cannot communicate or we are just overcome with emotion, when we are in a place where we just don't even know what to do, just by simply taking that breath, letting it out, reminds us of the power and blessings of God. And I hope we can understand why that is this evening. We know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the likeness and image of Almighty God, and our respiratory system is one of those parts of that miraculous creation that God brought forth in man. It operates automatically, involuntarily, without thinking about it, without considering it. We take for granted every day that we are going to be able to draw the next breath. The reason why I say we take it for granted is because we do it without even thinking about it. We do it without even considering it until, of course, you're sick or not well or something has happened, and then you become very aware. But it is an involuntary process through which we draw the needed oxygen, the needed blessings, the needed resources in for our bodies. And we exhale that which is damaging, that which is a byproduct, and that which we need to put off. And so God has designed it so that every moment of every day we can be reminded of the blessings and power of God. But before we think about our breath, and we're going to come back to Psalm 150 in verse 6, I want us to think for a few moments together about the breath of God first. Let's go to Psalm 33 and verse number 6. Three ways I want you to consider the breath of God. There are many metaphors in Scripture, there are many types in which we are told God does a certain thing in a certain way. And we are related most of the time, or a lot of the times, to human terms, that we may understand them. And one of the ways that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us, or to tell us about His power, to tell us about His giving of blessings and all of those things, is to reveal to us that which He does through His breath. Psalm 33, verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Now, if you think about it, when you and I breathe, we are taking in that which we need. We exhale that which we don't. We have the ability to keep this body functioning for another few seconds, because we can't live that long, of course, without the oxygen. But you know what? Our breath doesn't accomplish much beyond that, does it? I mean, when we exhale. But what it tells us here is that the breath of God or by the breath of God have the heavens been made. God breathed, left a trail of galaxies behind. God breathed and spoke worlds into existence. God breathed and hung the earth upon nothing, as we are told in Isaiah 40. God breathed and He brought forth all of creation from beginning to end. It wasn't time, chance, or evolution. But we know that it was the very breath of Almighty God that spoke. All the way back in Genesis 1, He said, "Let there be light," through His breath. He brought forth in the power of His words. Light sprung into existence. Further, throughout that creation week, going day by day, we know that He also created the moon and the stars and the sun also. By His speech, by His breath, we are able to have light upon the earth to rule the day and light upon the earth to rule the night. Further, He spoke and the waters divided from the earth and the dry ground rose up. We know that He spoke and vegetation appeared. Eventually, the animals populated the earth all by the very breath of Almighty God. We know that He formed from the vast reaches of space to the intricacies of the smallest of insects. God brought it all into existence. And though we are not focusing on creation tonight, we must understand that He brought it into existence in maturity, in its present form, as it is, because evolution has had no part in the forming of this earth in any way. But God has done it through His power. In the way that He chose to reveal to us His work of creation in this passage was to say, it was as easy for me as breathing. I mean, again, something we take for granted, right? Breathe in, we exhale, time and again, hundreds of times a day. Involuntary, it just happens, it's there. God made us that way. And so it is easy for us to breathe. Blow out a candle, that's pretty easy. And for God creating the heavens and the earth with the power of His Word, with the breath of His mouth, was even easier than that. There was no taxing of His resources or abilities. God spoke, and everything leapt into existence, simply by the breath of His mouth. Keep your place... Well, not there, but Psalm 150, as we said. But turn with us to Hebrews chapter 1. Not only has God brought the world into existence through the breath of His mouth, but we also find that He still holds it all together in the same fashion. Lest you think that God got it, the ball rolling, and, you know, things took over, and somehow the earth governs itself now, and other forces are at work. Not so. Hebrews 1, we find here verse number 3, talking about Christ. He says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand, the majesty on high." Right in the middle of that verse, upholding all things by the word. What does it take to make words? Or speech, it takes breath. Just as it told us in Psalm 33. So He brought it all into existence. He spoke. Creation leapt into existence. There is the power of Almighty God. Let us think, as we breathe in, as we breathe out, let us think about the fact that in the same motion, with unlimited power, God caused this world to spring into existence. Let every breath you take be a reminder even of creation. God has ingrained it within us. Our reliance upon it being certainly what it is. He's still upholding it by His power, and this shows us how insignificant we are by compare, doesn't it? Our breath accomplishes so little, and we'll talk more about our breath in a few moments. But secondly, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Not only does God communicate to us that He spoke the world into existence and all of creation by the word or breath of his mouth. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are told that God breathed again and his word was brought forth. Only God could breathe and leave the stars of heaven. Only God could breathe and bring about the diversity of creation on the earth. And only God could breathe and bring forth a book that is perfect and holy and without contradiction. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Say, where's the breath? Verse 16 in the word inspiration. Now, doesn't that mean to inspire, to motivate, to cause to be creative? No, that's not what it means. It means to breathe. It's not used in our English language that way all that much today until you begin to talk to a pulmonologist. You begin to be in the ICU and talk to, you know, those that are on ventilators and things. You'll hear that word inspire, and they're talking about the motion of breath. Because that's what it truly is talking about. And so it tells us here in verse 16 that all Scripture, does that all mean all? Yes, it means all, from Genesis to Revelation, every word, as Christ said himself, every jot and tittle. It is all inspired or breathed by God Almighty. And as we said, only God could breathe and leave behind a book that is without error, that is without contradiction. Only God, by His power and authority, could breathe and leave in written form His communication to man, such to reveal Himself. This book contains what God wants you to know about Him. What God wants you to know about His person, about His character, about His truth, about everything that He is. That's what this book is. And God communicated to you through His breath. It's exactly what I'm doing now. Communicating to you through my breath. Because if you can't breathe, you can't talk. If you can't breathe, we know you're dead. But God chose to breathe His word into existence. Just like with the Ten Commandments, God could have written this entire book upon the side of a mountain, I guess, or on stone somewhere. He could have done anything, but He chose to breathe it Himself in communicating it to man. Only God could do such a thing. As it speaks to our hearts and souls, it is the very breath of God touching our lives. Only God could do such a thing, perfect, inerrant, infallible. Only God could exhale and reveal Himself without contradiction. You know, if I try to communicate myself to you, if I try to tell you about myself and try to give you the full picture of who I am, it's very possible that I could end up contradicting myself. Tell you something about myself that's really not true. I mean, that's pretty easy because I probably wouldn't want you to know the bad stuff. Heard a preacher say once, you know, that somebody was complaining, well, I don't agree with what he said. And he said, this preacher said, well, when I listen to tapes myself, I don't always agree with what I say. Because sometimes we're men. Well, we're always men, but sometimes we contradict ourselves is what I mean. But with God, not so. With His breath, He communicates to man. And that is in written form for us now today in His Word. Only God could breathe and use fallen man to bring about the Scriptures we have today and communicate it in such a way. Go to 1 Peter. Again, only the breath of God could accomplish this. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the very breath of God. That's why we need to treat this book before us as a holy thing. We worship the God of it. We don't worship the physical pages and covers and ink. But this book is a holy book nonetheless because it is the very breath of God revealed to us on these pages. Let us see it as such. Every other book that has been written is the product, the total sum knowledge of a man or a few men or women. And all they can do is put their words on paper. All they can do is come up with everything they know to write about or make it up, you know, if they're writing fiction, I guess. I always get those two confused. I guess I'm right, fiction. But this book before us is not that. It's not the sum total knowledge of some man. This book before us is the very breath of God. It is alive. And as the Holy Spirit applies it to your heart tonight, God is breathing through this word and speaking it into your heart. Only God could breathe and leave such a book behind. And again, every time we inhale, every time we exhale, let us be reminded of what God has done with His breath. Spoken the worlds into existence. The fact that He created all things, including bringing His Word to us so that we may know who He is. And then thirdly, go with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. Only God could breathe and do these things we've talked about so far. Let us add to this list a third point that only God could breathe and create a soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. What makes man different than the animals? This action of God makes man different than the animals in every way. This made man to be in the image of God. God breathed. And in doing so, imparted life to Adam. Not just a physical existence, like an ape or like an elephant. But God imparted to him something greater. Through his breath, God created a soul in Adam. And everyone that has been born since, by the breath of Almighty God, has been created a living soul. We know we are fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 tells us. That making of God and the wonderful nature of it has not changed. People can clone animals and everything. One day I guess they'll clone human beings and all of those kinds of things. But it takes the very breath of God to bring a living soul. This again made Adam in the image of God, unlike the animals. It gave him that third part. Only God could breathe and his exhale impart life, create a soul. Without this, there would be no consciousness. I mean, that's what this is all about. God formed man of the dust of the ground. There he is, his body. He made it, he molded it, he shaped it. He gave it its form. But it wasn't until God breathed that there was a soul. There was consciousness. And with that consciousness comes the ability to communicate and fellowship and have a relationship with God that the animals of this earth do not have. They don't. Because God didn't breathe into them the breath of life. He didn't create in them a living soul through His breath. Look also to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 and verse number 5. Isaiah 42:5, Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Well, again, we are confronted with the fact that God gives breath. But I believe here, He's speaking not only of creating the living soul, but He continues to give breath. Every person upon this earth, all 7.5, almost, it's creeping up there, though, getting towards 8 billion. They all owe their daily breath from moment to God. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter where they're at. Doesn't matter if they're in church on Sunday or they're on death row for committing all the crimes you could think of. Whether they are in the hospital or whether they are, committing some terrible sin. Every person owes every breath to God. He's the one that gives it. If you draw your next breath, if you are able to continue this involuntary cycle of inhale and exhale, because God is giving you that ability. Nothing can change that. Nothing can change that. It is all of God. He has given us that breath. We have not only the living soul created within us, but He gives our physical bodies the ability to go on every day because God breathed and created a life, created a soul. And He has been doing so ever since. Makes us seem very insignificant in comparison, doesn't it? And there is no compare. There is no compare whatsoever. And so it is that every day mankind daily inhales life from God. Even if you get down to the fact that His creation placed this earth in such a position and made its atmosphere in such a way that the oxygen would be mixed exactly as needed so that we could breathe it and live. See how God is all over our daily life. Mankind daily inhales life from God and is daily reminded or confronted with the fact of where He came from and to whom He owes praise, honor, and glory to for His existence. The scientists, the world can write all the textbooks at once about evolution, about atheism, agnosticism, all the things that challenge the fact that God exists. And you know what? As they write those books and as they give their lectures and as they do those things that they do, the most simplest of things that they are having to do there to bring about those things is breathing, isn't it? Even as they draw their breath to blaspheme Almighty God, they are proving where they came from and who they owe their existence to. All because God breathed. And we could expound on this thought. God breathed and these things happened. Take that thought further and you'll find more blessings. But we want to return to Psalm chapter 150. Having in our minds the awesome breath of God, we want to return now to the command that we've been given. Thinking about Almighty God, let us again take that deep breath, that inhale in, and exhale out. And as we do so, being reminded of what this verse says, and now of all the things that God has accomplished with His breath, in a way, I suppose, and just taking that inhale and exhale, we have already witnessed the power of God in creation. We've already witnessed the fact that God has brought into existence His inherent Word. And we've already witnessed who we owe our life and existence here today to. But let us apply this practically to our daily lives. Because we are commanded here in verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Do we have breath today? Of course we do. Of course we do. We've proven that tonight. What do we do with that breath? It is our duty to use our faculties to praise God daily. Think about this. Daily we inhale of the goodness, glory, virtues, and blessings of Almighty God, don't we? Every time we take a breath, we are being given life from God. We are inhaling the blessings of God moment by moment by moment of every day. Taking them in, and we take them so much for granted we don't even realize it and think about it. We're inhaling them from the air we breathe to our daily food, our protection, our provision, the many spiritual blessings in Christ. Daily, we inhale. Just as we take our breath, we inhale the blessings of God. He daily loads us with those benefits, as Psalm 68, verse 19 says. He daily loads us with benefits, daily loads us with blessings. And you know what? You and I inhale every one of them. We don't want to miss a one. We don't want to leave one behind, do we? I don't want to miss a breath. You know, you might hold your breath for a period of time to see who can do it the longest. And, you know, that gets uncomfortable pretty quick, doesn't it? I don't want to miss the blessings of God. When you cut yourself off from the blessings of God, it's just like you've got no air. I don't want that. We want to inhale them. We want to take them in. We want to consume them. Every day we consume the blessings of God over and over and over again. That is us inhaling. But now our text verse lays upon us the responsibility, as we have inhaled the blessings of God, to then exhale praise and glory and honor to Almighty God. That is our duty. Inhale the blessings of God. Exhale praise and glory and blessing. That which God has given us. Let us then who inhale the blessings of God so naturally, so easily, let us also as naturally and as easily exhale praise to God for the life we've been given. For His creation, for His Word, for creating in us not only a living soul that we may be alive, but in Christ, giving us that new creation, being born again. Let us who inhale the blessings of God on a daily and a minute-by-minute basis, let it be a natural part to exhale of the praises of God in our life. What do we do when we exhale? A lot of times that means speech. That means talking. I mean, that's what breath is talking about a lot in Scripture. When God exhaled, what did He accomplish? Oh, He accomplished much, didn't He, through the power of His breath. What do we accomplish as we exhale? What does our exhalation produce? A lot of times it produces complaint. A lot of times it produces bitterness, it produces strife, produces an unthankful or ungrateful spirit, or shows evidence of it. We need to be ingrained within us. It needs to be a natural part of us. Again, because we take in the blessings of God every day as naturally as we take our next breath. And none of us want to be cut off from that. What do we do with that which we take in? We often take in and take in and take in, and we don't consider what we are exhaling. But here we are told, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let us praise Him. Doesn't mean you have to stand up and shout hallelujah, praise the Lord. Doesn't mean you have to make a spectacle of yourself, though that wouldn't hurt once in a while. But what it means is that we live every day with a thankful heart and a thankful spirit. It means that we use the breath we have been given to praise God for what we have been given. At a minimum, three times a day as we sit down to the table, thank God in prayer. At a minimum, when you wake up and when you go to bed, thank God for another day of life. Thank God for bringing us through another day safely and allowing us to lay down. At a minimum, we should be praising God, exhaling praise and prayer. We should be exhaling praise and song as we have opportunity to come in and sing unto the Lord. It's not everybody's favorite thing, I understand, because we're not musically talented, all of us. We're not inclined that way. We need to think of it as, I've taken in, I've breathed in, I have inhaled all the blessings of God. Now let me spend this time exhaling in song, praise to God. Oh, how we need to consider our attitude towards that. We exhale the blessings of God, the praise to God, not only in prayer and in song, but we also do it in our testimony, in our witnessing, in our communicating with others about what we believe, what the Lord has done for us, about our salvation. We are exhaling praise by saying, I'm saved, but it's not what I did, it's what He did upon the cross. Oh, I pray that we can naturally exhale the blessings of God. We exhale the blessings of God as we speak to one another and encourage one another and try to lift up the weary arms and to help each other as we walk through this life. We praise God as we testify of what He has done for us to each other. The point is that just as our life is dependent upon God as we inhale our next breath, we ought to be just as naturally exhaling praise unto God. Exhaling praise unto God. What do we do most often with our breath? What do we use most often our words for? James chapter 3 talks about the tongue and how it can be a deceitful thing. About how from the tongue comes forth, you know, like a fountain that would shoot forth sweet waters and bitter waters. That's not natural, but that's how it is many times. It ought not so to be. How vain many times is our exhalation. We need to inspire like God to His honor and glory. Inhale the goodness of God and life from God. And be a testimony to others by how we exhale our praise and honor and glory to God, knowing that every moment of every day we are dependent upon Almighty God for everything we receive. When we get stressed, when we get overwhelmed, when we get in difficulty, take that deep breath. Suck it in, blow it out. Not to meditate and get into all those things, you know, but just as a reminder, the awesome power and provision of God. Let it be that to you. Let it be that to you. It's the simplest way that you can be reminded of those things that we have from God. Let it be as natural as our daily breath that we take to inhale and exhale, but to bring in the blessings and to blow out the praise, to make sure that we are returning unto God that which we have been instructed, commanded to return unto Him. I'm afraid that in my life it's not as a natural part as it should be. We're far too inclined, like the children of Israel, to complain, to murmur against God, against the things we have, instead of praising God with the exhaling of our breath that we've taken in, the blessings we've taken in. Let that be a natural thing. Let's stand, let's invite musicians.